All right, so we're continuing this message series, Let's Be Good News, right? Part of 29 Days, 29 Ways. We've talked about let's be good news with simple acts of kindness. Today, let's be good news with words. And by the way, today, the confirmands, a new confirmation class is going to be kicking off the lunch after the service. So you're going to hear some high school illustrations today in celebration of that, all right? Let's start off with James chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. Listen to God's word here. We all stumble in many ways. Is there an amen to that? And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Amen to that. Man. Words have power, right? Words can be like a bit in our mouths to turn our head. Words can be like a rudder for the ship of our life. Words can start a wildfire. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can bruise the soul. Have you ever experienced a word that bruised you? When I was just starting 10th grade, you know, one of my teachers had us go around the room and introduce ourselves and say, some things about ourselves, right? And so it was my turn. I introduced myself. Hey, my name is Barnabas Sprinkle, and I don't play sports. I do play chess. I like reading, especially sci-fi and science. And I went on in describing myself. And after I was finished, one of the girls in the room, let me just call her Beth, she said, "Wow, Barnabas, everything about you is weird." And that was exactly the response of the class, right? Everybody laughed, she laughed, I laughed. But not on the inside, right? On the inside, I'm thinking, wait, is everything about me weird? And I'm listening to all the other students go around and realize, boy, I kind of stand out. I'm different from the people. I am weird. It was as if she had taken a name tag and written weird and slapped it right over my heart. And I didn't peel it off. I just left it there. And I got to say, for the next year or even more than a year, I really just sort of accepted weird as a label for myself. I guess I'm just weird. Have you ever felt a label from somebody else? Words are powerful. Can you think of a time somebody else labeled you? Or maybe someone else's words hurt you and it really took you to heart? Can you think of a time when someone's words kind of shaped the direction of your life? Like a rudder does a ship in some way. Often unintentionally, right? Words can be unintentionally powerful. Like Beth, she wasn't meaning to be mean. She just blurted out what she thought, right? It wasn't malicious. It was just kind of thoughtless. And how many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? In fact, for this sermon, I even tried to think of an illustration of my own self. Okay, when have I said something thoughtless that really affected somebody else? And here's what I realized. I may never know. Right? I mean, I'm remembering those words of Beth 25 years later. I bet she didn't remember them the next week. So how many times have I said something thoughtless? How many times have I said something that just struck somebody in a way I didn't intend, didn't think about? Words can be unintentionally powerful. God, please forgive me for whatever thoughtless words I've spoken. Right? God, please heal anyone for whom I've spoken a thoughtless word to them. Words can be powerful. Why are negative words so powerful. Have you noticed that? Negative words feel stronger than positive words sometimes. You know, negative words can turn ahead. Negative words can set the course of a ship of our culture. They go viral on social media. Have you noticed? Right? You know, like last election, we're just entering an election season. Maybe you've heard. So on social media, last election season, Russia interfered with our election. You heard about this, right? By posting all this really horribly negative stuff, and it just went viral. Well, shame on them, but why did it go viral? Why did people pass it on? I mean, some of this was just obvious lies. Why do people pass that stuff on? I have a friend, Max. He's on my Facebook page, if any of you are. Max is not just a Facebook friend, right? Max is a real friend. We gone on mission trips together. He helped me out build a shed in my backyard. I mean, we're friends, all right? He's about 30 years older than me, but we're tight. Max loves Facebook. He loves posting and especially reposting. He loves it when people like and share. And he sometimes posts things about Jesus. And he sometimes posts things about politics. You know where this is going. The things he posts about Jesus are so warm and loving. And the things he posts about politics are so not. Right? I mean, they are venom. They are just, some of them are vicious. And at one point, I had to take him aside and said, Max, buddy, we got to talk. And I shared with him James 3. Max, the same Facebook wall should not have both blessing and cursing, right? It's in James 3. James didn't mention Facebook, but he meant to, right? You know, you shouldn't be blessing Jesus and also cursing people made in God's image. And those politicians, they're made in God's image too. I know that's a shock, but they are. And we talked about this, right? Max, let's share beauty in the world. Let's share love and joy and peace in the world. Let's point people to Christ. And I know that's what you want to do, but having both of those things points in opposite directions and the negative feels stronger. And he says, you know, the negative does feel stronger. So I love it when people like and share, and I've noticed that people like and share the political stuff five times as much as the Jesus stuff. How did the Russia's stuff get passed on? It was Max. Right? It was. Not because he was mean about it, but just because we do it. And here's what struck me, that 5-to-1 thing that he said, five times as much. It struck me because I have some communication studies background. And communication scholars have found out over and over that for a relationship to feel healthy, you need 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction. They call it the golden rule of communication. All right? 5 positive interaction. And that's true in a romantic relationship. It's true in a parent-child relationship, teacher-student, doctor-patient, all kinds of relationships. 5 positive interactions to 1 negative for the relationship to feel healthy. Because if you get 2 negative interactions for 5 healthy, for 5 positive, it feels overly negative. Words are just that much stronger when they're negative. Why are the negative words so much stronger? We have, in my last congregation, we had a young woman who was, and just, she was an amazing singer, like Abby here. You guys love Abby, right? Good job. Yeah, right. Well, our Abby was Marley, okay? And she's a delightful person. She is decided just on a lark to actually try a beauty pageant. All right? So she went into this beauty pageant. Singing was her talent. And in the local pageant, she won. And she went on to this regionals, and she won. And she went on to the state pageant, and she won. She is Miss Teen Oregon some years ago. And she was just thrilled about this. I'd never expected to get this far, and she's posting on her social media pages about this. I'd never expected to get this far. This is an amazing thing. Not everybody was so positive about this. There were some girls in her high school who posted some of the most horrible things about her on social media stuff. I mean, it was just like, you know, oh, well, you must sing pretty because there are way prettier girls in our school. I mean, things like, you know, you say you're a Christian, you're obviously just shallow. Things like, I guess those judges like fat girls. I mean, horrible things. Cyberbullying is the term for that, right? Now, okay, we all know the answer to this. Why were they doing that? They're jealous, right? It all came to our mind immediately. It's obvious why they were doing this. But her mom shared with me, boy, these are really getting to her. So much that she was wondering, should I really go to the national competition or not? Now, let's weigh the positive and the negative here. A panel of local judges said she's number one. A panel of regional judges said she's number one. A panel of state judges said she is absolutely number one. And yet a few jealous girls in her high school post a few things on social media, and it's tearing at her heart. Why are negative words so powerful? Because they echo our own fears. They echo our own anxieties. They echo our own insecurities. Because there is a hollow place inside the human heart for that negativity to echo and resound unless we fill that hollow space with the Word of God. Unless we fill that hollow space with the Holy Spirit of God. That space is hollow, but it is not empty. Because there's a whisper. There's a whisper that says, you're not good enough. There's a whisper that says, you're inadequate. There's a whisper that says, you're a failure. There's a whisper that says, you're weird. That whisper is not the voice of God. Maybe it's our own human psyche, and maybe it's the whisper of our enemy, but it is not the voice of God. The voice of God says things like in Isaiah 43, you know, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you are caught by the flames, they shall not burn you, and the fire shall not burn you, the flame shall not consume you. Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Guys, do you have those words in your heart? Do you know enough of God's word? Have it memorized in your head and in your heart to fill the hollow space so those other negative words will not echo in the hollow. It'll all be filled. There's no place to echo. Do you have those words in your heart? Maybe not word for word, but God's word's got to fill that hollow, friends. And yes, you can. I know there's somebody in here who thought, well, I can't memorize stuff. Yes, you can. Your brain is a muscle. Okay, I know there's some doctor in here who's going to tell me a brain is not a muscle. Look, your brain's a muscle, okay? You can exercise it and it gets stronger. Just practice. Put the Word of God in your heart. So full of the Word of God that those lies will have no place to echo, because that's not God's Word. So when we listen to God's voice, it transforms the lies of our enemy. It doesn't just kill them, it actually resurrects them. You know, when Beth labeled me weird, I wore that name tag for over a year. And whenever I would try to tell people about something I was interested in, I would ask, well, I don't know if they're going to like it because I'm weird. Maybe that's just weird. Whenever I would succeed at something, I did well in a chess tournament or I did well in a math tournament, I would say, well, that's just me being weird. And at one point, somebody gave me a compliment for something that I'd done quite well, and they complimented me, and I remember excusing myself with, well, yeah, that's just me being weird. And later, I was thinking about this and ruminating about this and saying, boy, I really think of myself as weird, and that was a good thing. And that weird good thing, I've written it off as weird, but am I really weird? And as I was thinking about this and ruminating on it, something inside my head clicked. I don't know if it was me or a whisper of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But something in me said, wait, I'm not weird. I'm one of a kind. For heaven's sake, my name is Barnabas Sprinkle, right? I mean, what could be more one of a kind than that? And I took off the name tag weird and I put on a name tag that said Barnabas Sprinkle, one of a kind, right there. Because that's who God made me to be. Right. And I want you to hear, God didn't just kill that lie. He resurrected it. Right? He took something that wasn't quite true and turned it into something that is true, that relates to the way God has made you. Friend, what label are you wearing on your name tag? Is there anything, God, some lie in your life God wants to resurrect into his truth? Because sometimes those labels, they come from our family of origin. Some people feel unloved because maybe my parents didn't love me well enough. Friends, your Heavenly Father loves you immeasurably. He loves you unconditionally. What label are you wearing from your childhood? Sometimes labels come from our experience. Someone experiences a failure and they think, I am a failure. They experience rejection and think, I am a reject. They experience brokenness and think, I am broken. They experience a lack of love and say, I am unlovable. Friends, that's not the word of God. The word of God is, He has created you. He has formed you. He has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are His. Can you claim that word of God in your life? Sometimes those labels, they can even be a religious word. Some people are wearing this religious name tag that says sinner. I'm a sinner. When God looks at me, He sees my sin. Friends, that's not what the Bible says. It's just not. The Bible says we, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are saints who sometimes sin. But that's a different thing, right? Your sin was nailed to the cross before you were ever born. Paul writes his letters to these saints in Rome, to these saints in Corinth, to the saints in Philippi. We are saints. That's what God calls us. Does that mean you're perfect? No. But because Jesus Christ has given His life to pay for all of our sins, God doesn't see it anymore. What He sees is you are a saint who sometimes flubs, a saint who sometimes sins. Guys, if any religious leader told you growing up that God looks at you as a sinner, if any religious leader told you growing up that you have to confess your sins over and over again to be a saint, or do penance over and over again to be a saint, or do the right thing over and over and over again to be a saint, somehow earn your way to being a saint, they were lying to you. I'm sorry. They may have been wearing the wrong name tag themselves. Because the truth is, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we are no longer sinners. We are saints. Now, do we still say, amen, thank you. There we go. You know, do we still sin? Of course, right? Me too. Do we still, mess up sometimes? Of course, we still need discipleship. But there's the difference. My identity is not a sinner. My identity is a saint who sometimes sins. My identity is not a screw up. I'm a student, right? I am learning. I am growing. I am on a journey with Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is guiding me on this journey because I am an apprentice of Jesus. That is our identity. We're an apprentice of Jesus. We're a child of the King of the universe. We need to claim that identity for ourselves. Can we live every day with that identity? Because if we live with that identity, then Beth's opinion doesn't matter, even if she thinks I'm weird. The rest of the class's opinion doesn't matter. Those girls posting on social media don't matter. The beauty pageant judges, their opinion doesn't matter, because I am a child of the King of the universe. Can you live every day with His opinion as the opinion that matters, wearing a name tag that says, created, formed, redeemed, claimed, called by name, I'm His? It's a long name tag, but it's your name tag. And once we're wearing the right name tag, can we help other people with their name tags? Once we're wearing the right name tag, can we help other people wear a name tag that is the very words of God? Back when I was in seminary, I was part of a covenant group led by a professor. Stan Wood is his name. Dr. Wood is an amazing professor. He's led covenant groups for years with seminary students, had an amazing effect on so many of us. He shared the story of how he first claimed Christ for himself. He was in high school. He played football. I did not. He did. And in football, he was an offensive lineman. Now, if you know about as much as me about football, here's what you got to know. An offensive lineman is on the offense, but he's really defending the quarterback from getting sacked, right? He just blocks and keeps the quarterback from getting tackled. So the offensive lineman never gets a touchdown. The offensive lineman never gets most valued player in the game. The offensive lineman only is there to block and let other guys score. And according to Stan, that was true with the ladies as well in high school. But so here his final game, all right, in the playoffs. And their team was in the playoffs and was doing great. And a key play of the game, all right, he was, blocking, holding the line. The defense was blitzing. And the running back had the football and was running around the flank. and he saw a defender on the other team running to go tackle their running back. And he, the way he tells it, flipped around another player and blocked that defender so that his running back got a touchdown. The crowds went wild. Everybody cheered. The whole team ran over and lifted the running back on their shoulders and took him into the locker room. And the coach just celebrated, and they were all celebrating together. And the running back got most valued player. And the coach celebrated everything that went so well in that game. And Stan's move didn't get mentioned. It's the best thing he did in his whole high school football career, and the coach had not noticed. But after the game, as he was going into the parking lot, another dad, a dad of one of his teammates, not his dad, somebody else's dad, called out to him, "Hey, man, great block, Wood." It's his last name. "Great block, Wood." And the dad was like talking to him, and he sort of reenacted the play and the whole thing. And he started feeling really good about this. And then the dad said, "Man, it was just like Jesus. He blocks the devil so we can get to God." Okay, that is theologically weird. One of a kind. So for Stan, it meant the world to him. Because here's the thing. It started him on a journey of exploring Jesus for himself and realizing we have this Jesus who was never appreciated in his own time, never got the glory that Jesus might have wanted or deserved. He himself was mocked and was rejected, and he gave his life that we could have eternal life. Stan became a Christian. He became a pastor. He became a church planter. And later he became a professor to encourage other pastors and church planters as well. He's had these covenant groups for years. The ripple effect of that one man saying, "Great block, Wood." Think about the effect. A word can turn ahead. A word can turn the ship of a person's life. A word can start a wildfire in somebody's soul. I have no idea the name of that dad. I don't know if Stan knows his name. It was 50 years ago. But I know that he will never know the ripple effect of his words of encouragement at just that moment. Friends, let us never forget, God created the universe with words. And as people made in God's image, our words create worlds too. So this week, two challenges. First, what's on your name tag? Is there any label on your name tag God wants to redeem? Any lie that God wants to resurrect into the truth? Not weird, but one of a kind. Not a sinner, but a saint who sometimes sins. Not rejected, but redeemed. Not unlovable, but dearly loved. Not broken, but unbreakable. Not unsteady, but unshakable. Not a screw up, but a student. An apprentice of Jesus Christ. Not worthless, but priceless. Not a failure, but faithful. Not single, but a bride of Christ. Not fatherless, not abandoned, but adopted. I'm a child of the King of the universe. That is who I am. Friends, that is who you are in Jesus Christ. Can you claim that name tag? What word does God want to resurrect in your life? And once you're wearing the right name tag, how can we help others with their name tags too? Can we be the people who say, "Great block, Wood"? Can we be the people who speak a word of encouragement? 29 days, 29 ways to share God's love. This week, let's show God's love with our words. Might be a word to someone at school or at work. Might be a word to someone in your family and those closest to you. It might be written in a note or a card or a letter. Those things still exist. And it might be in a carefully worded text or email, something you post on social media. Maybe it's something that you spray paint on No, don't do that. But be creative. 29 days, 29 ways to show God's love. This week, let's be good news with our words.